I'm glad the Lord doesn't just reach down for your salvation. He keeps on reaching down all throughout our lives. There's weeks and days that, boy, we sure do need Him. I believe we always need Him, but sometimes we just don't notice it as much. Amen. I'm glad He still does reach down, though. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Leviticus chapter 16. My college and career class are going to have a little bit of a redo. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 21. In the scripture, you see a wonderful picture that the Lord gives us throughout Leviticus. He gives us this wonderful picture that to us is a very gory one to look at. If you read through Leviticus with making the decision that you're going to understand that the wages of sin is death. Something innocent must die for our reconciliation to God. Must. There must be shedding of blood. Got to be. God's rules. He made them. Throughout all of Leviticus, you see offering after offering, sacrifice after sacrifice, different ways and different things. All under the story that they're not going to be enough. All under what man can do would not be enough. What they did back in the Old Testament was cover until Jesus came and removed. And it's so wonderful to see this story that God made a way even for back in these days for people to go to a place called paradise until that blessed seed came called Jesus Christ to release them from that captivity and take them to heaven someday. Exciting. And in this part of these offerings, there's this practice called the scapegoat. This practice called the scapegoat where they would take one innocent, two innocent goats, but one they would slay. And they would take that blood and put it on the mercy seat and put it on the altar. And then they would take the scapegoat and take it far away after the priests had put all the sin, all the iniquities, prayed all of that on that innocent little animal. A wonderful picture of Jesus Christ, even today, taking all of our sin, all of it. Every mistake sin-wise we make has been paid for. All the sin that we're going to do someday has been paid for by that wonderful Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. If we look in verse 20, the Bible says, "And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness." Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Jesus, we need you. We love you. And Lord God, we are a frail people. But Lord God, you can do anything through these people. You can do anything through us. Lord God, I want to compel the hearts of men this morning. I want to compel the congregation today to be fit men. Ones that are willing to do what God wants us to do. Ones that are willing to take the journey of a Christian. The journey of the Jesus follower. The journey of the disciple of Christ. Lord, that's a path that not too many men trod anymore. That's a path that not too many men want to walk anymore. And Lord, I believe I'm standing in a room that has many. Lord, please help us to be encouraged and strengthened today. Help us to continue to love you and turn to you. Lord God, I'm so thankful that when we need you the most, Lord, you're always there. You're always willing to reach way down to us and help us in our times of need. Oh God, help my preacher. Lord, we need him here. Lord, please help him to be healthy. He's battled so much lately. Oh, God, please be with him. I think also of Miss Daphne. Lord, she's back in the hospital again. Lord, God, please be with her. She continues to fight these blood clots, God. You can fix it, Lord. Please fix it. Lord, please be with us today. Anoint me, God. I need you. These folks don't need to hear from me today. They need to hear from you. Lord God, help us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you imagine how long it took? How long it took Aaron to put all the iniquities on the head of that goat? Can you imagine how long it took him to confess? Let's read that again. He shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, which is not a small country at this time. All the iniquities of all the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins. I've got to be honest with you, it would take me a long time just to have somebody confess mine. Just mine. Can you imagine how long it took that man in a nation of murmurers and a nation of doubters and a nation of God's children that didn't really want to follow God and a nation of the, do you imagine how long it took him to confess all those things upon that goat? I don't know how long it took, but good night. Maybe there's a one umbrella covering prayer. I don't know. Maybe there's one thing. God, forgive us of all the messes we've made. But here it is. He's putting all this upon the head of this innocent little animal. All this is being put on the head of this goat. But I don't want to get you to look at that today. I want to get you to look at this man. Not really much said about him. This man, this fit man. And I wonder today if we can make an understanding in our heads that, listen, according to the Word of God here, there was one, a fit man. Now, wait a minute. He was a sinner, right? It wasn't Jesus Christ doing this. He was a sinner. But yet he was a fit man, made fit by God, not made fit by him. And you must understand, I believe that we are looking today out at a congregation of men that are fit or could be fit to do this thing called this sin fight or this thing called the scapegoat in our lives today. Well, we don't have to walk around with goats. Aren't we glad of that? Goats are smelly. I'm glad I don't have goats. But I'm going to tell you that there is a fit man. You can take great hope and great solace in knowing that, man, there are us out there. There are you out there that can be used of God. Are we sinners? Yes, so is this man. But he was still called a fit man. This man, this person was looked upon for this very important responsibility. Just as we are today. This very important responsibility of taking care of God's people. This very important responsibility that this man had to do. And I don't believe they took this responsibility lightly. We can know that there was a fit man. That gives us great hope that there at least is some. We don't look around. You may be that one. This man, I see some things here. Number one, this man must be willing to go. I'll tell you a little bit about what he does here in a minute. But this fit man, as they're searching, this scapegoat had to leave. This scapegoat had to go out into the wilderness far away. There had to be a man that was willing to give his time and willing to give his abilities and willing to give what he had to do these things for God, to do these things for his people. This fit man had to be willing to go. This fit man had to be willing to come out soul winning. This fit man had to be one that was willing to do the things of God. This fit man had to be one that was willing to do the things that maybe not anybody else wanted to do. This fit man had to give of himself. Do you know God's not interested in our abilities? He's interested in our availability. Every single man in here under the sound of my voice can do something for God. Every single man under the sound of my voice, if you're saved, if you know the Lord is your Savior, you're a fit man because of Him. You're a fit man that must be willing to do the things of God. You're a fit man that must be willing to try to propagate the gospel. You're a fit man. You must be willing to do the things that God has asked us to do. Because if you're not willing to do them, guess what happens? Nothing. We must be willing. If they would have searched throughout the camp of Israel, would have searched throughout all the people and not one was willing to go, where would the scapegoat go? Nowhere. If there's not one that's willing to do what God wants us to do, let's say we stop deciding to go out soul winning. Let's say we stop deciding to go out visitation. Let's just say we stop deciding to read our Bible. Guess what happens? Nothing. To be a fit man, you must be willing to do those things. You must be willing to go beyond what your flesh says. You must be willing to go beyond the things of this world and say, hey, I'm a fit man that's willing to do the things of God. Number two, you must be aware of your responsibility. Not aware of others. You must be aware of your responsibility. It's not Brother Bill's responsibility to do the things that I can do. It's my responsibility. I can't look to others and say, it's your responsibility to do this. You should do this. Preacher always taught this to us kids. He always says, listen, if you're not willing to do it, don't ask your people. If you're not willing to give, then don't you ask your people to give. If you're not willing to take a step forward, don't ask them to take a step forward. If you're not willing to work, don't ask them to work. You must be willing to do those things and understand it's a responsibility that we have as men, a responsibility that we have as men to take care of this fit man responsibility. Just us, you, me, you, personally, we have to take responsibility. We, and by the way, ladies, you're not included. You have these big smiles on your face. Let me get rid of those real quick. You also have a responsibility. Fit ladies. But let me tell you, there's very few Proverbs ladies out there anymore. What's a Proverbs lady? Let's take a look. Take your Bibles, turn over to Proverbs. We're going to be all the way at the end. 31. We have ladies laugh this off today. We have ladies not care about this. This is what God wants us to be, ladies. Meaning you, not me. I don't make a very pretty lady, although Michael did last night. We're playing this game. He draws this card that says, do this, and then if you want to go forward a space, give this card to somebody and let them give you a makeover. I would have taken the penalty. Nobody's giving me a makeover. He says, I'm going to give it to Mr. B. I said, no, Michael, I'm not going to do that to you, son. Come on now. I said, man, Kaylee, go get the stuff. Let's make him over. Just take the penalty next time, son. Made over. Look at this now. Verse 10. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Didn't have this plan. Who can find a virtuous woman? You know, that's a statement we need to ask ourselves today. Who can find one? Who can find one? Who even knows what they are? You're not going to find it on the news. You're not going to find it out in the world. You're not going to find it in books or magazines. Who can find a virtuous woman? Ladies, we must teach our younger ladies how to be ladies. We must pass it on. We don't want to raise a generation of harlots that don't know God. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Everything's waiting for him at home. By the way, guys, you should look at home. Don't look elsewhere. Look at home. We've got enough homes splitting up in this whole wide world. We don't need you to go looking elsewhere for your spoils. Look in your house for your spoils. Your wife is right there. Didn't have any of this plan. Need some marriage counseling, apparently. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Ladies, it's good for you to work a little bit. What? Ladies, it's good for you to work a little bit. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. Are you telling me that I should be cooking and cleaning at home? I will never come to this church again. Do you know what has happened? You say, well, you're a male chauvinist. I'll oink later for you if you want. But let me tell you, this is what's happened to the ladies of America. They've missed what God has for them. And you take offense to, you should be a queen in your house. Not a factory worker somewhere that gets spit upon. You should be a queen held up. You should be a queen that your king... By the way, men, you ought to be a little bit more excited about your queen. And maybe treat her as such. I'm looking for fit men today. I'm looking for fit men that realize the goodness that they have at their own home. I'm looking for fit men today that aren't willing to go out looking for another gal. I'm looking for fit men today that are willing to keep their houses together instead of tearing them apart. I'm looking for fit men today that are willing to realize that they've got a great gal waiting at home. Hey, she was good enough when you married her. What's happened? Well, the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. Look in the mirror, buddy. You're looking a little Mr. Ed yourself. I'm nothing without that lady sitting right back there. No, hey, I didn't have any, this was not planned. I don't know if there's somebody out here waiting to split up. But let me tell you something, I'm nothing without her. Do we have fights? Sure, we love it. We love it. Whatever. She wins. She wins. Here's the thing. I'm the first to admit, I don't treat her as good as she needs to be treated all the time. I don't. Neither do you too, by the way, fellas. You're looking at me, I treat my wife all wonderful all the time. I don't, but understand this. I'm not looking anywhere else. Why would I look anywhere else when she's my wife? The Lord has supplied me with a lady that loves this. It took a miracle. And I know as good as the exterior looks, the interior ain't that great. No, you don't. Listen. I'm looking for fit men today that are willing to stand up for their wife. Boy, it got quiet right after that, didn't it? That are willing to stand up for their wife. That are willing to say, she is my queen. That are willing to be her king. By the way, we get this messed up a lot as men. You're not fit men if you're willing to keep your wife down like a dog. There's many churches that treat the women like they're subservient. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that, ever. Well, it says to submit to your husband, or your own husband. The Bible, preacher, you're wrong. It says to submit to your own husband. It does. But don't you think she ought to want to? You treat your wife. God never told us to treat our wives like they're servants. It's not a two-way street. I love that. Oh, it's 50-50 all the way, preacher. That's not marriage. And I don't, believe me, I'm not an expert. But understand this. It's 100% to her. She's 100% to me. Nobody in between. And where we mess up as men is we get our gaze across somebody else and think, well, wow, what if I had that? Let me explain something to you. There's nothing better than what God gave you. The problem is you never realize that God's the one that gave her to you. It was my good looks. That wasn't it. We've been married 20 years. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've never needed her more than I do right now. Never. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price to me, and we're not even fighting right now. I'm saying all this without even trying to make up with her. Isn't it wonderful? We might fight later, but we're not fighting right now. We like fighting. We like it. The making up is great. But understand this. I need her to be in my home because that's where I find comfort, support, strength. I need to have that virtuous woman. I need to, and ladies, you must be this woman to your husbands. By the way, it says submit to your own husbands. She's not to submit to another man. Ladies, I got to be honest with you. Your man goes out and works 50, 60, 70 hours a week. It would be nice to come home to somebody that loves them. Not to come home to a pit bull. Not to come to the door and have, well, I don't know where you've been, but this is what the kids have been doing, and this is what the laundry's stacking up. And hey, maybe men, you deserve that. Maybe you deserve that because you haven't done right by your wife for so long. Maybe that's the truth. But at the end of the day, don't you think that you ought to want to get together and love each other? A virtuous woman and a fit man? What do our churches need? What do our kids need to see? Our kids don't need to see marriages splitting. Our kids need to see marriages staying together. In a day and age where Walmart sells divorce kits, don't you think it's time to show that God still works in people? Don't you think it's time? I know, Bill and Taylor, you just started out married. Let me understand. They need to see older people staying together in their marriage. My kids are getting older. Oh, boy. I can't have enough guns on my property right now, I'll tell you. But they don't need to see my wife and I marching to divorce court. They need to see us staying together. Is it always easy? No. Good night, no. When did the Bible say marriage is simple? You know, it's worth it, though. It's worth being a fit man. You know, being a fit man, sometimes you got to swallow your pride. Don't you know, as a fit man, sometimes you got to give concessions where you maybe don't want to give them. Maybe sometimes you got to listen to what your wife has to say. You might think I'm up, oh, you're just a pansy. I'm the man in the house. Which is why you're alone. Hey, this, you say what you want. I didn't have any of this planned, but we need to stay together today. We need our marriages to stay together. We need to have men and women that stay together facing the trials of this world and the trials of life together. Why? To show the next generation it can still be done. By the way, if you've gotten a divorce in the past, doesn't mean you're a secondhand citizen. I'm not trying to say that. But you don't come to me and tell me that that divorce didn't scar your life. I've never met a person yet that the divorce didn't scar their life. Tear their life apart. It's a horrible thing. Horrible. And I don't look down upon those people. I want to pray for them and try to help them. I come from a split home. I know what it was like. I know what it was like to watch my mama come in the living room and say, I'm leaving. No, but by the way, divorce is always selfish. Get mad at me all you want to. I didn't have any of this planned. Divorce is always selfish. You stopped wanting to give. That's what it is. You stopped wanting to give. It's over. Why? Because I'm tired of giving. And I want to receive some. And I can just about promise you, you've been receiving it from somewhere else if you're thinking about divorce. Boy, that's tough to hear, isn't it? Aren't you glad you came to the Sunday morning service at Bethel Baptist Church? Maybe if you'd refuse the giving that you're getting from somewhere else and go give some of yourself to the person you've got waiting for you at home, maybe you wouldn't worry about the getting you're getting from somewhere else. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. By the way, I don't always do this correctly. I'm not always the husband I ought to be. But know this, 20 years later, and by the way, 20 years now is like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you made it 20 years. I mean, anymore, you're on your fifth wife by the time you're 20 years. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it was yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. By the way, men, your wife can have an input on what you buy. I don't care what you want, honey. I'm getting a Corvette. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Sounds to me like she's doing a lot of work. Boy, there's nothing like a housewife that has a husband that comes home and says, what you been doing all day? Nothing. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Why? Why? Because she brags on him. I'm going to say something to you, and you may not like this. I don't care what you think right now. All I know is this. There's nothing that makes me feel better than when my wife talks well of me behind my back. Nothing in the whole wide world. Her husband's known in the gate. Why? Because she talks about him. It would do you no harm to go and say, hey, you know what? I love my husband. Not just to your husband. To other people. It would be great to say how wonderful your husband was. It might get back to him. By the way, I don't think you ought to go out and start telling your lady friends how much of a dog your husband is. There's nothing that'll hurt your man more than going out and telling people how much of a dog he is. Boy, this is going over like a lead balloon. But you don't understand, he is a dog. I'll never forget Jack. And by the way, good friend. I love Jack. There, we had the You Are Loved. What would you change about Jack? I can list 100 things right now that I would change about Jack. Good friend. I'm just kidding with him. Whatever. How what would you want to change? She says, I'd take him just as he is. Held up the, everybody else had something they'd change. She said, I'll take him just as he is. There's nothing he was happier about that moment than his wife saying, I'll take him just as he is. Let me explain something to you. Nicole, there's things about Sean maybe you'd like to have changed. But you know what? You don't need to tell everybody about it. Hey, I'm trying to help you today. I'm not going to go out and tell you how bad my wife was today. I'm not. We have fights. I'm not saying it's all, oh, bliss all the time, skipping down the road. There's times she's following me down the road, I'll tell you. But I'm telling you right now, you're not going to hear from me. It got back to me a few times. And I know these are lies, but it's all right. Man, I love my husband's preaching. Got back to me. You know what that made? Man, I tell you. That just makes you want to fight, man. That's just like, yeah. Yeah. It makes you want to go home and hug her. Kiss her. Other stuff. But if you go over to your buddy and he says, man, your wife said that you are an idiot. Your husband's known as known in the gates as a moron. Your husband is known in the gates as a jerk face, right? That's what you want, men, right? You know what, men, I've got to ask you a question. What have you said about your wife? Huh? What have you said? What have you said? I wonder because she's the one that takes care of you. I wonder because she's the one that God gave you. I wonder, because I wonder if our marriages can make it if we're constantly tearing each other apart. I wonder. I wonder if it's possible. Am I getting boring to you? Because I'm going to tell you, our lives can be changed if we would care about the one that God gave us. My ministry is nothing without her. My life is nothing without her. And I'm not saying this just to make her feel good today. It's the truth. And by the way, you lose your spouse, you've lost it all. Well, I can make it right. You'll never get over that pain. Never. That's a wound that cannot heal. Look at this now. Her husband is known in the gates, verse 23, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. And ladies, you should desire to make strength and honor your clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, not with cackling. Ooh, that went over bad too. It's a good day. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness, not the poison of asps. Talking about a virtuous woman, I'm just reading what the Bible says. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Look at this now, gentlemen, her husband also. And he, what? I'm looking for fit men today. You can't wait for this to be over, can you? I'm looking for fit men today. I'm looking for fit men that'll cancel their subscription to Sports Illustrated. What? Because you know what comes once a year. I'm looking for fit men that'll change the channel. I'm looking for fit men that'll stop gawking as they're running down the streets. I'm looking for fit men. I'm looking for fit men. I said I'm looking for fit men today. He praiseth her. He doesn't come home with a treadmill as a gift. Oh, stink. Gotta pick something else. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I'm going to tell you, we live in a day and age where men are not aware of their responsibility. They're not aware of their responsibility. Women have given up to the fact that they don't care anymore. It's just easier to go ahead and get annulments. It's easier to go ahead and get disillusionments. It's easier to go ahead and just give in. It's easier to just go ahead and say, I'm not doing it. And believe me, I know that there's some divorces that were absolutely necessary because there was just no way it was going to be reconciled. But don't tell me that the pain is not there. Don't tell me that the torment is not there. Don't tell me that the hurt is gone. And we live in a day where we need to see that we can still do it. We can still get it done as Christian couples, having God be in the forefront, having God be our focus, that we can still make it today. All the world's telling you, if you don't like it, just end it. If you don't like it, just forget it. Everything's disposable. And that is transcended into our marriages. It's a disposable marriage. We'll just throw him out. We'll just throw her out and get a new one. Trade my 40 for 220s. That's not what God intended. God intends my wife and I to grow old together, to love each other, and to not seek elsewhere. Must be aware of this responsibility. As a fit man, you must be... I'm jumping back now. That announcement is over. You must be desirous as a fit man to remove sin from the camp. You must be desirous as a fit man to take this responsibility of taking that goat laden with sin outside the camp. You must be desirous to get rid of sin. We as men, we all are willing to talk about it, amen it, shout for it, but at the end of the day, are we willing to get rid of it? Are we willing to make the changes that are necessary? Are you willing to get rid of your computer because you can't stop looking at porn? Are you willing to get rid of your iPod because you can't stop listening to rock and roll music? Oh, preacher, don't start hitting on music. You know what's amazing to me? That your argument tells me where your heart is. I lived that life. I know how bad it is. I know how affecting it is. I still remember the musical lyrics. Can't get those words out of my head. I can't memorize scripture. Oh, yes, you can, because you can memorize AC/DC. See, it's amazing to me that we don't have fit men that are willing to get that sin out of our camp. I mean, to get rid of it. Gone. Fit men want to get rid of the sin. Fit men don't want the sin. I don't want sin in my home. Not saying it's not there. I just don't want it in my home. It's a fight. Isn't it a fight? Isn't it a battle? Boy, we face that battle every single day, and I know it. But isn't it a battle every single day that you have to fight over and over and over again? The devil's so good at it that he constantly gets us with things that bother us. He constantly gets us in the flesh and constantly gets us in those little chinks in our armor. We don't expect him to come, but boy, they sure do come. And it's a fight day after day after day. And as a fit man, you want to get that out of your camp. A fit man doesn't sell his CDs. A fit man burns them. A fit man gets rid of the things that are easily besetting him, those sins that are gone. They must be taken away. He was a man that was willing to take that sin without the camp. More than that. By the way, the journey wasn't easy. Going to the wilderness. By the way, you're the only one that can get sin out of your camp. I'll just let you know that too. You're the only one. You got to take the responsibility to realize you're the only one. You're the fit man that needs to take the sin out of your camp. Don't expect me to take the sin out of your camp. You've got to take the sin out of your camp. I can't do it for you. You got to take the sin out. Why do I have so much trouble? Because you won't take the sin out. I'll never forget the story the preacher told. He come here, this guy had a collection of liquor bottles. Preacher, I don't know why the devil's besetting me so. Preacher goes to his liquor cabinet and says, I'll show you! And he starts grabbing his fifths of alcohol and starts pouring them down the sink. And you're all thinking, well, you better not come to my house and do that, I'll tell you. Nobody thought that was funny. I hope none of you have liquor in your homes. Good night. I just cook with it. Anyways. Yeah. Because your fit man's coming home and you need to be a little wasted to give him the food. It needs to be you that takes it out. And the man started to get a tear down his eyes. And dad was worried. This was a big man. And preacher was worried. Oh, I hope he doesn't come and beat me up. And the man with a tear in his eye says, you're right, preacher. I need to get it out of my house. What happened to godliness? What happened to holiness? What happened to... And I know I'm not holy. Please don't misread me. But I want to have that fight. I want to be responsible for the man that God has made me. And I want to know, let God know that I want to be that fit man that gets the sin out of my camp. What if preacher came to your house today? What would he find? A fit man has a desire to take that sin out of his camp. By the way, a fit man realizes that his sin was on that goat too. Do you realize that you're a sinner? Do you realize that your obligation to get sin out of the camp does not remove you from being a sinner? Do you realize that taking steps towards holiness does not remove the sinfulness? But it does remove some of the sin. See, we have this battle, we have this fight. In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. We have this battle that we must fight. And we must fight this battle because we need to show others that we can fight this battle. We need to show others that it can be fought and it can be won. We must show others that we have to do what God has asked us to do. And I believe he's very plain here saying we must remove sin from the camp and take it to a place in the wilderness where no one can find it. And this is man taking it out, realizing that his sin too was on top of that goat. And by the way, when you get rid of sin, it's your sin too. Don't go in the house cleaning out your wife's sin. Here we are in marriage again. I thought you were done with that. You go in there, oh, honey, I'm kicking the devil out. You better kick him out of you first. See, we've got to come to an understanding that my wife and I are not at odds. My wife and I are a team. Together, one flesh. Our sin has to be gotten out. Our sin has to be taken care of. Our sin has to be on that goat and let out of the camp. Our sin. He must realize that his sin too is on the head of that goat. He must be patient enough to take that long journey to remove sin. Do you know sin just does not leave? Ask somebody that's an alcoholic to give up drinking. It's not easy. Believe me, I'm not up here, oh, just get rid of it today and it'll be all gone. That doesn't always happen. Now, sometime God gives you the ability, and boy, I tell you, it's very few cases that I see. God gives you the ability to stop everything and just take over brand new. But I'm going to tell you this right now. God can give you that ability. Don't take your sin out of your camp to make me happy. Don't take your sin out of your camp to make you happy. Take the sin out of the camp to make God happy. If you do things for the Lord, you'll continue to do them. If you do things for men, you'll stop. Why can a man stop cold turkey drinking? Why can a man stop cold turkey smoking cigarettes and doing drugs? Why can he stop that? Why can he stop that? Because God helps him to stop that. Not because he's so good and so wonderful on his own. He's a fit man because he was a sinner saved by grace and God has helped him. He must be patient enough to see this sin go far away. It's a long walk. It's a long walk. I worry when I see people get saved. They just get saved, and boy, the whole world turns upside down. And I understand if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, but things ought to change in your life. But I get real worried when, oh, they just, everything, oh my goodness, I'm never going to do this again, never going to do that again. And they get so righteous so fast that they forgot they're still a sinner. And it's easy to fall apart that way. What tree is stronger, the one that grows fast or the one that grows slow? Slow. And I'm not telling you not to get rid of your sin. I'm not telling you. You need to get rid of your sin. But please come to the understanding that it may take a while for you to grow. Patient enough to see this sin go away. Boy, this is a good one right here. He must be strong enough to leave it there. See, that man that was a fit man. That man that was a fit man. Boy, I tell you, when I first got married to Tam, I listened to country music. I loved it. Oh, my goodness, I loved it. And I would listen to that all the time, and whatever. I always admit to you things in my life. And I had a hard time. I really had a hard time with it. Oh, they say God like once in every seven songs. It got to be good. So, and I know I'm hitting on a bad vein right now because I'm getting scowls unbelievable. Please put the javelins down. But I used to listen to country music like crazy, and it came time that the Lord had enough. And the Lord said, listen, if you're going to do something for me, you're going to have to get rid of this. He told me lots of times, I just finally listened. And it had come to my mind, and by the way, I bet you it comes to your mind too. Well, I've got a vast music collection, I'll sell it. Right? Oh, I paid a lot of money for this. So you're going to go ahead and sell your sin to someone else? No. The fit man had to grab the goat all by himself. He couldn't sell the goat to somebody else. He couldn't hand the rope to some other guy. It was his sin that he had to take care of. And by the way, when he got it out there, he had to let it go. He got it out there and he had to let it go and leave it there. When we got rid of our stuff, and by the way, movies and whatever, I'm not trying to, it was hard. But we walked it over to the dumpster, made sure it was the day before trash pickup. Because I could see myself diving. And threw it in. One right after the other. Because we had to leave it. Has to go away. What is sin, getting rid of the sin? What is the scapegoat unless we leave the scapegoat out where in the wilderness? What is sin? What is sin if you walk up here and confess your sins before God and then take them from the altar with you? Why did you come? What was the confession for? What was the asking God to remove it? What was it for? It was for nothing, no avail. It meant nothing. You did nothing here. But to say, God, I know it's afflicting me. I know it's something I need to get rid of. A fit man takes that thing out in the wilderness and leaves it there. I would to God we could get a church full of fit men. And I know we've got them. We've got good men here. We've got great men in this church. And we've got some virtuous women in this church. Great, great couples. Great people that can do things for God. But we must know what's ahead. Patient enough to see this sin go far away. Strong enough to leave it there. And humble enough to realize that God made it the way. Humble enough to realize that it's God that's going to do that for you, not you. Humble enough that it's, who set up the rule? Did man decide that they're going to put that there? Oh, well, this is what we're going to do. This is what we've decided. What's the smelliest animal? Goat. We'll put him out in the wilderness. We never said that. God made the rule. God says, this is what you do. God's telling you what to do. And if you do it, it's because God helped you to do it. Because you don't have any desire to do it on your own. That spirit that's within you has to do it. You want to get your marriages right? You're going to have to have God's help. You want to have a Christian marriage? You're going to have God's help. You want to get that sin out of your life and get it down into the wilderness and leave it there? You're going to have God's help. Several of you are going to leave here today aggravated. Aggravated because I picked on country music or picked on sin or picked on you or whatever. You feel like I've just come to you today. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at this thing that we fight called sin. And as fit men, we've got a responsibility to show young people that it can still be conquered. Michael, you've got to know through your mom and dad, you've got to know that you can have a great marriage and you can, and by the way, they're just starting out too. They've got to see these older folks out here have their marriages continue. They've got to see older folks out here serving God and doing what we're supposed to do. They've got to see it. Why? So they can pass it on to you. And then that way when you get yourself a wife and God gives you somebody special, you know that you can too make it. The responsibility is this. The responsibility is we've got to pass on to our young people that divorce is not the option you want. We've got to pass on to our young people, you still can get sin out of your life. They've got to see it. I know Josh, pretty good guy. I get that. I understand that. But he's got sin in his life. You say what you want. We're all sinners. She's got sin in her life more than most, I'll tell you that. But I'm going to tell you right now, listen to me. You need to see them trying to get better. We need to see that in each other. We need to see, we're here as a family. I don't go out with people that aren't my church people. I don't know if you know that. I just don't hang around people like that. First of all, nobody else likes me. But I've got to be honest with you. I want to hang around other people. Why? So I can hear encouragement. Oh, I kicked this out of my life or kicked that out of my life. Or boy, we need to pray for each other. Boy, we need this. You know what we don't need? We don't need to go into rooms and close the door and talk bad about each other. We don't need to go. We need to pray for each other and care about each other, love one another. We need to not talk bad about our spouses. We need to hold them up and praise them. If we would do that, I believe we'd be fit men. If we would do that, I believe we'd be fit men. I believe we'd be virtuous ladies. I believe we would show this next generation to come that we are not going to tolerate the thought process of a disposable life. We're not going to tolerate the thought process of a disposable marriage. We're not going to tolerate the thought process of a disposable Christianity. You can have it for 10 minutes and then throw it away next and you'll be just fine. That's not what God wants. We're looking for fit men today. We're looking for virtuous women today. And I need God to help me to be one of those fit men. Because God bless my wife, 20 years. She's trained me. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it is worth it. It is worth trying to do your best to become that fit man. That fit man. Just you. Don't look at anybody else today. It's just you. Just you. Virtuous woman. Just you. Nobody else. Just you. You're the one that has to become this. You're the one that has to make this decision. Just you. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, the battle we fight today is a battle of being lukewarm, a battle of being high-minded, a battle of willing to throw everything away, a battle of sin. Very seldom gets talked about anymore. This thing called sin that plagues lives very, very seldom gets talked about anymore. Doing the right thing. You know, Lord, it's become so skewed in this America today where what the right thing is. Lord, I believe your word is pretty specific. There's things that we ought to do as men, and there's things that we ought to do as virtuous women. There's things that we ought to do. But Lord God, the world has changed it so. The world has changed the definitions. I don't believe you've ever changed them. Lord, please help us as men to realize our responsibilities. To realize what we're supposed to do. To realize our responsibility to you. Lord, help our ladies in here to realize that they must pass down being virtuous. They must pass down the knowledge that they have. Lord, I'm begging you to make us a room full of couples here today, married couples that love each other and care about each other, so we can pass down to the next generation that you can still make it. You can still do it. Oh, this isn't going to be found in some Dr. Phil book. This isn't going to be found in some Dr. Spock book. This is going to be found in the good book. This is going to be found in your Bible. Lord, please help us to seek that out. We've got a responsibility. Our time's not over. We should be fit men. We should be fit men because you've made a way for us to be fit men. And Lord, I'm glad of that. Help me to do better. Help me to do what you'd have me to do today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no